T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wisconsin, welcome into the Bill Michaels Show. Sans Bill, yeah, Marcus Paff sitting in the chair today. Radio Joe Zenzola alongside, keeping everything warm this week with Bill out. Tim Allen will be by tomorrow and Friday. I will be back on Thursday. Should probably know my own schedule. That's always a good thing. And plenty to get to. Of course, we spent a good portion of the opening couple of hours talking Milwaukee Brewers baseball, and we will circle back around to that certainly, because there's just a lot to break down over the course of the next 2 weeks as that trade deadline, the hard trade deadline, mind you, approaches, and whether or not you're buying, selling, or standing pat. And I still don't know, not to get too deep into this, because we're going to chat with Matt Velasquez and get into the Bucks here momentarily, but I still don't know if Brewer fans are okay with this team holding serve and not doing anything. I'd like to think that they would be if it reaches a point of, all right, you're 2 weeks in, you're looking at what's available, and it just doesn't add up in terms of the assets that you're willing to give up. But at the same point in time, I'll have conversations with friends and family all the time that say, look, you only have so many opportunities. You need to try to roll the dice and see what happens and bring a player or two in. The problem is they're not a player or two away right now. And I'd feel very differently if I thought that were the case, that with one or two additions, you could potentially be on the level of the LA Dodgers or the Atlanta Braves. The last 3 weeks, if nothing, have shown us that they're a ways off from that. And if you want to compare it to what took place with the Bucks last season, first of all, they were the class of the Eastern Conference going in, but they keep pace on paper anyway by adding a guy like Nico Mirotic, bringing in George Hill via trade. You keep yourself out in front and setting the curve at that point. And that's not the position that the Brewers are in because of some things that they banked on this season that haven't panned out. Most notably, of course, Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta. And I said that we'll get into that probably about halfway through this hour. We'll come back to Burns and Peralta and whether or not they are trade pieces in your mind at this point, or if you still feel good about the long-term prognostication of certainly Burns becoming a starter, and you would assume Peralta in that same boat. But right now, let's get into the Milwaukee Bucks. Have yet to really touch on that in this show, and joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JS Online, he's Matt Velasquez. Matt, good to catch up with you again, man. How you been?
Oh, good, good. Glad to be on.
Are you enjoying the off season? Is there an off season for you now that Summer League has become this mammoth thing to cover out in Vegas every year?
You know, there's still some off season to enjoy, and I'm definitely enjoying what I have.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Now, I want to jump into this. I'll get into the meat and potatoes of the offseason shortly. But Sunday, of course, the Bucks and Nike, for that matter, hold a rally for Giannis in the Deer District, celebrating his MVP award. And look, the season did not end the way that anybody wanted it to. But the fact that this team, this Bucks organization, and this player in particular is still a relevant talking point in the middle of July. As somebody who's followed this organization from the time I was of a very young age, that's crazy to me. And I know you remember this team winning 15 games just a few seasons ago. What's it been like for you, Matt, to see the interest in this Bucks organization go from virtually non-existent to what we're now witnessing today?
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, you look at, like you mentioned, that 15-win season, that was my first year covering the Bucks in any capacity, and just seeing the Bradley Center mostly empty a lot of nights, a lot of opposing teams' fans. You couldn't find Bucks gear around the city. There was really no signature player at that point. Any signature players they did have were they weren't that great, relative to the NBA. There were no stars, and so to have them you know, have these homegrown talents in Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, and to be able to build around those guys and build something up to, you know, where they are now, have the new arena, to have the Deer District at all, you know, to have not just the hardcore fans, you know, but to have, you know, a ton of casual fans, people who think it's cool to, like, follow the Bucks and be a Bucks fan in July even. I mean, July used to just be Brewers, 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 and then Packers, you know, and now, you know, the Bucks are encroaching on that, and deservedly so, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, it's wild for me as somebody who grew up on the western side of the state in La Crosse and then works for a station in Appleton to see some of these ancillary markets that for the longest time, I'm not sure people believed that the Bucks could become a major talking point there, and they've done it. And certainly a lot of credit goes to Giannis with that. Now, as the offseason has gone, Matt, we knew this was going to be an interesting one at this time last year even. And it certainly has been that, and I know you've answered a lot of these questions as the offseason has rolled along. But to recap, you keep Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and George Hill. You move on from Malcolm Brogdon, although you didn't let him walk for nothing. You get some picks in return, including a first-rounder. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts, though. I mean, ultimately, what led to the Bucks deciding to move on from Brogdon and not simply matching whatever offer came his way?
You know, I think the thing with that is that you have to decide if you're willing to pay the tax or not. And if you're going to pay the tax, is it worth the player who's going to push you into that tax? Because they could have done everything they've done already and kept Malcolm Brogdon, and they would definitely be a tax-paying team. And then next year you have Giannis coming up. I mean, you're going to be a tax-paying team, you know, into the future. Like, as you keep paying the tax year after year, the repeater penalties really get you. And that's really a problem that basically every team tries to avoid. So what year do you want to go into the tax? Because chances are that could be next year, based on how all these contracts are. They're all going to go up. They're all going to go up more than the, you know, than the salary cap goes up. And Giannis is going to, you know, potentially get an extension. So next year is a likely tax-paying year. So do you want to pay the tax this year, and then suddenly you're in the repeater penalty next year just for Malcolm Brogdon? You know, and yes, Malcolm Brogdon is really good, but they've kind of made their choices throughout the year. They re-signed Eric Bledsoe at a, you know, fairly friendly salary relative to other point guards in the league. They didn't have any other choice when it came to Chris Middleton. His cap hold was so big, he had to either sign him or lose him, and they decided to sign him. And then they wanted Brook Lopez back because having a center who does what he does really unlocks the offense. So, you know, Brogdon was kind of more disposable than the other ones, mostly because of his situation, and the fact that they were able to get something in return, I think was positive, because they could have tried to, you know, scare other teams off, say, hey, we're going to pay them, you know, we'll force you to have to make an offer that we can match, but instead they said, hey, you know, we know we're not going to pay him, but, you know, we could, so if you want to get him now, Indiana, instead of someone else getting him, you got to work with us. So they were able to work out that sign and trade, get a first round pick in return, and now they're kind of back in the game when it comes to the draft.
Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel joining us on the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Paff sitting in for Bill today. Yeah, I understood the financial implications. I was curious to hear your thoughts on whether it was strictly a financial thing. And that seemingly being the case, why do you think they elected to, and I think you're correct in pointing this out, Bledsoe's contract is relatively team friendly, but why do you think they elected to re-up Bledsoe mid-season? And essentially what it appears they did is choose Bledsoe over Brogdon at the guard position.
Yeah, I mean, he was somebody who, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out that question relative to you know, to the decision between Bledsoe and Brogdon, because at the time you don't know if it's going to be a decision necessarily between Bledsoe and Brogdon. Maybe it could have been. But then now, you know, now it essentially is. And so it'll be interesting to hear, you know, further commentary on that. You know, but I think when you look at Eric Bledsoe, the importance he had in their defensive scheme, and he was a first-team all defense player this year. And so, you know, having him at the front of their defensive scheme, the way he was able to impact the game. And during the regular season, he had a really good season. He was generally healthy. He played a lot. He showed up big in fourth quarters often. You know, he wasn't putting up the shooting numbers that Malcolm Brogdon was, but his two-way impact was really high, to the point where I know a lot of Bucks fans were even upset that he was not an all-star and Chris Middleton was. You could very easily find people who would say, oh, Eric Bledsoe should have been an All-Star instead of Chris Middleton. I think they both could have been together. But, you know, when you have a player who's playing that well, extending him when he would be unrestricted, you know, whereas you wouldn't have the ability to bring him back like you would with Malcolm Brogdon, then you say, hey, if we can get him on a long-term contract that is going to be, you know, fairly average among point guards, and he's been providing what he's provided, I think, you know, the deal in that situation makes sense. You know, but I think at the time you also have to recognize, hey, this is going to be tight, and maybe we're going to have to lose somebody this summer, and we'll have to see how it goes.
Matt, looking ahead on that note, we know that the roster is going to be different from a season ago. You bring in Robin Lopez and Madison native Wesley Matthews, and coaches will always tell you, hey, every team is different every year, and I think that holds true to a certain extent. How do you anticipate the dynamic differing this season with those guys in the fold, and obviously, as we just talked about, Brogdon moving on?
You know, I think it'll help from a size and physicality standpoint to have Robin Lopez. He is a starting quality player in the NBA, and he'll be coming off the bench. And I think when you look at the East, I mean, it's the Bucks and the Sixers that are getting the most buzz. And so you need to be able to just constantly throw big bodies at Joel Embiid. And so, you know, last season, if the Bucks had played the Sixers, regardless of who they played, they didn't have two solid physical seven-footers, you know, back-to-back in the rotation. They had Brook Lopez, and then you're giving up something in terms of size and physicality if you go down to, you know, Nikola Mirotic or Ersan Ilyasova, or, you know, even play Giannis at the five. You know, you're giving up, you know, some bulk there. So having, you know, guys who are legitimately the same, you know, they're two twins, you know, putting out these twin seven-footers, you know, you're not going to let any seven-footer get any rest for an opposing team. And so that's positive for them. I think Robin can probably shoot the three a little bit more than he's shown. I know Bud will give him the green light like he gives to everybody. I think Wes Matthews can fill it up off the bench and add to that kind of bench mob that they have going. And so that, you know, then they have three more roster spots. You know, one of them will be going to Giannis' brother, Thanasis. And then we have two more to figure out. And that's really kind of where I think the offseason kind of might pivot, because if they can get, you know, quality players on minimum contracts in those last two spots, you know, that could be a game changer.
I am smiling thinking about Robin Lopez hoisting threes in this system. I know that Splash Brothers is probably trademarked, but when you're biologically related, you would assume that, hey, maybe they can take a hold of that if Robin could get it going at some point. And Matt, now, no coach is going to admit this either, and that likely includes Mike Budenholzer, but the Bucks won 60 games last year. They proved they're one of the best teams in the East. That said, they obviously didn't win at all. We've seen teams in the past who show that they're capable, or show what they're capable of in the regular season, and then in subsequent years, it feels like they take a different approach in attempting to ready themselves for the postseason rather than focusing on the regular season win total. Could you see the Bucks doing that this year in adjusting how they handle things and their personnel, most notably Giannis, who's coming off a very busy offseason?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I know Giannis has spoken about that directly in exit interviews and things like that. You know, he said that, you know, he went too hard in the regular season, where he was trying to do too much to win every single game, compete super hard every night, and, you know, that took a toll on him. You know, his back started to hurt, and, you know, he had little, you know, physical nicks and cuts here and there. And so instead of trying to power through and just dunk on everyone and, like, get to the rim every time, he wants to work on, you know, his mid-range game and do that during the regular season and get more comfortable and add more tricks to his bag, add more shots, add more finishes, add more counters to defensive, attacks and all those different things. So he wants to be prepared for what the playoffs brings. In the playoffs, you can't just power your way to the rim every single time and just try to physically dominate. Like, you're going to have to add some finesse, add some jump shots, things like that. And so, you know, as Giannis goes, I think that instead of, you know, trying to beat the Magic on, like, February 9th by, like, just dominating and going to the rim every time, he's gonna try and, you know, take some jump shots and try new things and test things out so that when crunch time comes in April, May, and potentially June, he'll be ready to do some different things.
Winding down with Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel, I wanted to ask you this because you're clearly around him a lot. Matt, how difficult of a season do you think this is going to be for Giannis from a media standpoint? Because we know certainly the national folks are going to be constantly questioning him about the contract situation with the looming potential for a supermax. We've seen other superstars handle it in different ways. I'm really curious to kind of figure out how he's going to deal with this and whether or not he can shut it down as much as possible and keep it out of mind and just play basketball.
You know, I think in past situations that have been somewhat similar, obviously nothing's been similar like exactly like this, but when it comes to like the MVP last year, there weren't a whole bunch of stories and a whole bunch of, you know, sound bites from Giannis, because every time I asked about it, he said the same thing. He just said, hey, I just want to win games, and if you win games, like, team success will breed, you know, individual success. That's all he cared about. He's like, I just care about winning. Okay, and so, like, you know, when it comes to awards, I think he, or in the Supermax and all that, I think it's the same thing. He's really good at recognizing that if he is just boring and just says the same thing over and over again, hey, I love what I'm doing, like, I'll decide this summer, whatever, I think he can kind of shut a lot of that down. I know the questions will come. I'll be asking some of them too. But if he just consistently gives the same answer, then, you know, it kind of diffuses the situation. I don't think it's going to be like an Anthony Davis type situation.
Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Of course, you can read his work online, jsonline.com. Up against it, Matt, always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate the time and look forward to doing it again down the road. And hopefully another trek to the finals and beyond for the Bucks.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Matt. I appreciate it. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Come back, and I want to talk Bucks a little bit more, most notably Giannis's comments of late about wanting to play long-term in Milwaukee. Couple that with the fact that he was at Yankee Stadium yesterday. I'm not saying anything about Giannis, but it certainly made me raise an eyebrow when I saw that. We'll get into it next. Marcus Papp in for Bill. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Hey, is it just me or is the grass growing like crazy right now? I know it's warm, but the grass is growing like crazy. With that in mind, now you know I always tell you go get the unleaded 88 or the E85. But in this case, for your lawnmower, your garden tractor, your chainsaw, the outboard motor for your fishing boat, the rototiller, whatever it is, any small engine, no, don't do it. Cars are tested by the EPA and approved for the E15, which is the unleaded 88, or the E85. But the small engines are not. So get the facts, all right? Get the facts. When you're going to fill up the red gas can, go with regular unleaded. Don't use the unleaded 88 or the E85. I just want to make sure you don't damage any of your implements, so to speak. Go to wibiofuels.org for all the information. Get the facts. wibiofuels.org.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, Wednesday night live out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park and the Budweiser Pavilion stage. Stop in and check it out. Gates open at 6, music at 7. It's free admission. That's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yo, bring on down.
Little Beck bringing us back. The Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Papp in. Radio Joe Zinzola in as well. He is here, and we are holding down the fort today. A lot of Brewers to get to. And I've said this, Joe, and I will readily admit it on air. It is always more intriguing to talk about your team when they aren't playing so well when it comes to the medium of sports talk radio as opposed to when they are playing well. Because when they are playing well, frankly, I run out of compliments. I've done that several times with Christian Yelich throughout his short stay in Milwaukee. And that's kind of why Yelich never comes up in conversation these days with the Brewers, because he's like the only guy that there's nothing to be critical of throughout the course of this skid that they are on right now.
The only thing you can have a discussion about when it comes to Christian Yelich is, you know, is he better than Mike Trout? Is he going to win the MVP again? How do you compare him to guys like Cody Bellinger? I mean, that it's like, if we want to have any kind of conversation about Christian Yelich, now it is, let's try to compare him to other players.
Yeah.
And try to determine, is he the best?
it's not great content to just come on and say, God, Christian Yelich is really good.
Yeah,
man, this
we
guy
all
is
know
great.
This.
Exactly. Now, one interesting state conversation that I know a lot of people have is when you talk about sort of the level of fame between the three superstars here, which, my God, we're fortunate to have Christian Yelich with the Crew, Giannis with the Bucks, and of course Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. And I wanted to bring it back to Giannis in this particular portion of the show. We were talking to Matt Velasquez about the future and kind of how Giannis is going to be faced with some different hurdles this year. He's going to be asked constantly about whether or not he plans to sign a supermax in Milwaukee or he could go elsewhere. And I'm already sick of this, Joe, on the national shows, in particular the Four Letter Network. How often can we ask if he is a prime candidate to join the flippin' Knicks next year? The Knicks? Why would Giannis? New York's a great, great city, but the Knicks are not a great, great organization, and they do not have a great, great owner. I have no idea why he would want to go join that team, especially after seeing guys like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both say, you know what, I think we're going to go over here and play in Brooklyn. So, I'm going to have to endure this. All Bucks fans are going to have to endure this, but at the end of the day, Joe, and I'm not trying to talk like a fan here and just be overly optimistic. I do believe Giannis when I hear him say that he genuinely wants to play for this organization for 20, 25 years and then be involved in some capacity like a coach or a front office member. Maybe I'm naive, and I think a lot of people in other cities would label me that, but for the first time in my life, I feel like there is a guy that says it and he actually means it as a superstar.
Yeah, about a year ago when there was more uncertainty about the Milwaukee Bucks and, you know, how good could they be in years to come. This was, you know, before the Budenholzer hire. And, you know, I had a lot more doubt because I just wasn't sure, you know, this team keeps coming up short. They can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, where does this team go from here? And now you have to start asking yourself, well, is the clock ticking on Giannis? I mean, if they're not winning, if they can't get out of the first round, then what makes you think he's going to stick around? But I think everything that transpired this season, to me, I am in a much better place as a fan. And even as someone that is trying to think about this objectively, I don't see Giannis leaving here. I don't. Because Giannis's whole mantra is, I want to win. The goal is to win a championship now. I've won all these other awards. I've gotten the MVP. I know I can get better. I know I can repeat, blah, 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 blah. But he had stressed the other day in the ESPN piece that, look, it's about championships. And as long as the goal is to be winning championships and we have a team to do it, well, then, yeah, I want to be with the Bucks for the next 20 years. Shoot, I'd love to coach the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
You know, he mentioned that in the piece. So I'm sitting here more and more confident that I just cannot imagine Giannis leaving Milwaukee. And I'll even add to that, do you remember when he was in L.A. Midway through the season, the Bucks made their second West Coast road trip out there. And remember in L.A., he was walking down Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive with his girlfriend, and you had this TMZ reporter going after him and trying to, you know, get like a gotcha moment out of him. He was asking all these questions, and Giannis did a really good job. He handled himself well. But I think if you're Giannis, that kind of stuff really has to turn you off. You know, when it comes to being in a bigger market, being around all of that, being around, you know, the media, which is essentially 5 to 10 times the size of what you're dealing with here in Milwaukee. You know, I don't think Giannis wants to put up with that.
Well, look, I'm not saying that there aren't good things about the major markets. I've spent time in L.A., New York, Chicago. I enjoy them when I'm there. But so many of the arguments that were made in the 70s and 80s and 90s about the need to play there, they don't hold as much water as they once did. The visibility factor is out the door at this point, out the window, because ESPN, NBA TV, TNT, they show the games that are relevant. They show the stars. Giannis is on national TV. He's visible. He has a signature shoe while playing in Milwaukee. Right. We've seen Kevin Durant have success in smaller markets. Oakland, I know that it's in the Bay Area. It's not a big market in and of itself. Oklahoma City, you can do that in today's NBA. And you brought up the mentality, and I think that's the biggest reason that I have this level of confidence is because he is in so many ways like a Kobe Bryant, like a Michael Jordan, in that basketball is what matters at this point in his life. And someday down the road, he wants to be able to look back and say, I was the greatest, I was one of the greatest, and now I can do all those things that maybe I didn't get a chance to do because I was so ultra-focused on basketball. And the Bucks have done a good job of surrounding him with talent. I'm not sure how I feel about the Malcolm Brogdon situation, but I still get the feeling that there was more at work there than just saying, we don't want to pay the luxury tax. End of the day, though, and I didn't even get into this, and we'll come back around to it because we're up against it, and I want to come back and get into Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta a little bit more with the Brewers, but to see him at Yankee Stadium taking batting practice, Joe, really, really bugged me. So I'll save that. We can come back around to that in the final hour and how you remedy that, if there is a remedy to be had. We'll come back. Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta, are they trade pieces? Would you move on from them at this point, or are you still sold on their long-term success with this organization? Touch on that next. Marcus Papp in for Bill Michaels on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Sometimes a ride around the block just not enough, and that's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program. Now, they've got 15 dealerships all throughout the state of Wisconsin, and that's what I did. I went to their one in Plymouth to the truck center and got the new Ram 1500, took it for 90 days, loved it, ended up buying it. And if you're not satisfied, the best part about it, you can return it with no additional commitment, or if you do buy it, you can save up to $2,000. Like I said, I got the 2019 Ram 1500 and love it. All you got to do is go to vanhornauto.com and shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program exclusively at Van Horn. Go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. Family born and employee owned.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. It is Marcus Papp sitting in for Bill right now, having some fun. Radio Joe Zanzola is along for the ride. What a ride it's been. That's how we could describe the Brewers season to this point as well. Quite a ride, because it started out with a lot of the same from last year, where you felt good about their potential to get back to the NLCS, and now here you find them, what, sitting in third and just a game over 500. Different world. And you got some questions that I never anticipated asking. Most notably, this one. Where are you on the long-term potential of Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta with this squad? Because we came in, and like Brewer fans know it, that it was supposed to be the big three. And look, I'll say this, too. It was naive to think that you were going to have all three of these guys come on and they were going to have just this immense level of success, because they're all still very young. And in the case of Burnes and Peralta, had not been full-time starters, and really Woodruff had neither. He was coming in out of the pen last year in the postseason run, and it was a big reason that they were so successful there. But Woodruff has gone on and proven himself very capable, and he'll go tonight for the Crew against Atlanta, and knock on wood, they're able to get themselves out of this funk to a certain extent. But, you know, you look at Burnes and say a year ago he was this untouchable in trade talks. Are you still of that mindset that these guys can and will be big-time contributors in the major leagues? Or have you moved on from that? And would the Brewers organization be better served to send them elsewhere and try to get back and recoup what they can? Let me say this. I am fully still on board with Corbin Burnes despite the struggles, because I've witnessed what he has in his bag of tools, and that is high velocity. He has nasty off-speed stuff when it's going right, but he hasn't been able to locate, and he hasn't been able to locate in very inopportune situations as well. Joe, I look at like the last 2 weeks and the number of times that Corbin Burnes has gotten a hitter down 0-2. So you're in the most advantageous count possible, and then groove a fastball down the middle is uncanny to me. And it can't happen. And I know that, all right, they send him to the 10-day IL yesterday. Maybe there's something going on there. Adam McKelvey talked about that in hour number two. But injury or not at this juncture, it's no secret. Burns has been a massive disappointment. However, looking ahead to the next 3 years, I'd rather take my chances with him than whatever you would get for him at this point in some sort of a trade with whoever might be willing to take him on right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Corbin Burns is untouchable like Keston Hiura is. He is certainly untouchable, and there is no reason to move him at all. I mean, hell, he's had 3 hits last night for the Brewers. He's the only one that actually did something offensively. But back to Corbin Burns, it's going to take a lot for me to move him because I do have a lot of faith in him. This is the absolute worst-case scenario you could have asked for out of him. I don't think anybody, any Brewer fan out there, expected it to be this bad. I think a lot of Brewer fans expected growing pains because, you know, it's a big moment for him. At the beginning of the year, was a big moment because he was going to be one of those guys in the rotation that they were going to look to, and it didn't work out. Like I said, I think Corbin Burns should spend the rest of the year in AAA, get things back in order, be a starting pitcher, and then try to rely on him for years to come. I mean, if I'm going to move Corbin Burns in any trade, I'm not doing it for a rental pitcher. I'm not going to, you know, give up Corbin Burns for Madison Bumgarner. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. Because, again, the control factor, if you're not going to acquire a starting pitcher that's going to have at least 2 years of control, well, then why am I going to give up someone that I have 5-6 years of control, especially when I know that the potential is there and the ceiling is really high? That's just that's a lot. That's a tall task.
Oh, absolutely. And David Stearns, as we know, is all about team control for a considerable number of years. He seeks that out. And by the way, if you want to get involved, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag MilHockeyTalkLine, 855-830-8648. Also on social media at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I think you have to label Burns the biggest disappointment, though, of the season, despite the fact that I'm not getting rid of him right now, unless there's just some sort of ridiculous offer that's made. And I don't think anybody is naive enough to think that that's coming. But I'm not getting rid of him right now. But still, the biggest disappointment of the year, because he had the most put on his shoulders in terms of expectation. Yes, Travis Shaw was a guy that had been there, done that. Many people just believed he'd come in and be the same player that he was for the last couple of years. But you look back on it now, and Travis Shaw has kind of steadily declined since that opening year with the Brewers, where he was ridiculously good. And you're going, well, how the heck did they fleece the Red Sox with Tyler Thornburg, who's been injured for a year and a half? But kind of come back down to reality now in that sense. But still, I mean, there's just so many things that have gone on with his Brewers team. But if you think of Burns coming out, if he were even just average right now, and maybe a guy that were up and down here and there, but could give you some decent starts, we're looking at this rotation in a very different light, especially with Gio Gonzalez coming back after a legitimate outing last night at AAA San Antonio. Don't know what the future holds for Jimmy Nelson. That's another disappointment, although in my mind, that the expectation should have never been there for him to come in and be a front-end starter again, not after being out for a year and a half, but still, some people looked at it that way. It's just, you run out of things to say about Burns other than you shake your head and wonder how this goes. Now, with Freddie Peralta, I'd say the same thing, though, Joe, and I know we're up against it here, but with Freddie Peralta, I don't know that I'm looking to move him right now, strictly because we've seen what he's capable of from a strikeout standpoint, and the fact that he, too, is, what, 23 years old right now?
Yeah, he's very young.
The age thing is a big part of this, because you better know he is, and he's 23, just turned 23 on June 4th. If you're 27, 28, I might think that you've topped out, but a lot of guys don't find themselves in this league until that time and then continue to pitch well into their mid-30s. All right, we got to pause. We'll come back. Keep the Brewer conversation going with everything that's gone on with them. Again, Brandon Woodruff on the bump tonight, trying to get things righted for Milwaukee. Final segment of Hour 3 is coming up next. Marcus Paffin for Bill Michaels on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state. state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders, they have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing the fact that they can fix you, help you with your problem. And if you're feeling moody or sluggish or run down, no stamina, no energy, they can help you out there as well. Just stop in and get your numbers checked for low T. It takes about 10, 15 minutes, and they can help you out almost right then and there, right on the spot, at least set you up with a program. And if you're looking down right now and you're thinking, man, I need to lose a few pounds or jumpstart the new health and wellness system, that's the way to do it. Go to New Mail Medical. Call the medical experts over at New Mail Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Cigar dinner. That's my kind of party, Radio Joe. My kind of party. By the way, Marcus Paff sitting in for Bill Michaels today on the Bill Michaels Show. I'll be back Thursday. Tim Allen is in tomorrow and Friday for Bill, who is obviously out this week. When last we left you talking Milwaukee Brewers, and you know, we've gotten into what transpired last night, and really it's kind of the same old story, the same old narrative that you can come in and talk about missed opportunities, the fact that the Brewers don't make the plays in the field that they need to make. All of this is true, and it's been going on for the last 3 to 4 weeks, but that narrative yields some larger questions, too, pertaining to this team. Chief among them, at least as I have sort of interpreted this in talking to friends and other fans out there, is where are you at with Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta for the long haul? And I've said this so many times before, but I'll say it again. Corbin Burnes has shown far too much potential and far too many tools to just be done with him despite the struggles here. The strikeout totals are still eye-popping this year. And I get that the home runs are as well, which is where the frustration sets in. But with a guy that shows those types of tools, it's really hard to just give up on him. And I, you know, we don't talk about this enough, but it's because it's really hard to pin this on as the sole rationale for what's taking place here. Derek Johnson's gone. The pitching coach last season, who did a lot of great things with this team and got what many people believe to be a very average staff all the way to the NLCS. Now he's in Cincinnati doing some decent stuff. Is that part of the reason? Could that be part of the reason that Corbin Burnes isn't necessarily reaching his potential this year? I don't know. And I don't want to act like Chris Hook doesn't do a good job either. It's just impossible
to tell. But the thing is, Chris Hook worked with Corbin Burnes down in the minor leagues, and Corbin Burnes accelerated through the minor leagues.
Very successful.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't think any of us have an answer, which is why we sit here and throw our hands up like this when we talk about it. But as I said, Joe, I'm not moving on from either one of them, because you don't move on from guys who are not yet 25 and have demonstrated those types of tools. And as was pointed out to me on Twitter here a moment ago by the Lonesome Kicker, what would you get for them anyway at this point? The team that's attempting to trade for them is, they feel like they're fleecing you because it's worth the risk to bring a guy like that in.
I certainly believe a team like Baltimore or a team like Detroit or a team like Kansas City or Toronto, who have clearly said that they're rebuilding, Seattle's another one. I think all those teams would definitely take a chance on a Corbin Burnes or Freddie Peralta. I think they're willing to take the time, because if they have scouts looking at them, they're probably saying, yeah, why not? I mean, if they're
in position to do it. Yeah,
absolutely.
They're not trying to win now like the Brewers are.
No.
So I get that. I don't get me wrong. I think you'd have takers, but I don't think you'd have takers that are going to say, here, have two of our top five prospects for Corbin Burnes, because they can rationalize it away in negotiations that, hey, look, this guy's just not worth it right now.
Well, see, the thing is, if you're going to flip Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta, that's going to be with a buyer's mindset, which means what you're getting back is more of an established vet, whether that's an established reliever, an established starting pitcher. I don't think you're going to trade either one of those guys for prospects. That's under the assumption that the Brewers decide to be buyers. They decide to be sellers, then there's no reason to trade either one of these guys, because then you're saying, okay, we still project these guys to be very helpful to us in the years to come, so we're not going to move them at all. But I think, you know, we talk about who should the Brewers move in their farm system if they want to be buyers or sellers. I think Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta can easily be thrown into the mix as guys that, teams would be willing to take on. Again, I think a lot of those teams who are clearly in rebuild mode right now would have no problem taking on either one of those guys.
No, totally different scenario when you're rebuilding, and you can give them some time to figure it out again. By the way, Jason on Twitter, wouldn't give up just yet. Planning on the young staff to take you all the way this year was a mistake, though. Will, if the Brewers can break out of this slump and are serious about contending this season and beyond, I think it's going to be one of the two that will be included as a trade piece. Can't decide or determine who, simply because both have such high upside. I agree with that. I could see it happening at some point. This isn't the year to give up on one of them because where you're at in the National League. All right, wrapping up hour three, Paul Immig is coming up next, our green and gold analyst. We will talk some Green Bay Packer football. Training camp is, believe it or not, really not all that far away. Do that, come back to the Brewers, and I still have more Giannis I want to talk to. Too much to get to. Marcus Pappin for Bill Michaels on The Bill Michaels Show.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.